Thanks, Crystal. That was beautiful. Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You can follow it on the screen here if you prefer to follow along in your pew Bible. It's at the bottom of page 994. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, why don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." God bless the reading of his word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I think it was about 20 years ago that I found myself in the living room of Jim and Ann Hurley. Ann Hurley was a longtime member of this church. Jim had been retired for a few years, and I was just making a pastoral visit. And Jim was telling stories. He had a lot of stories. He loved to tell the stories. And on this particular day, he was telling stories about his time in the work environment when he was an engineer at WTAE TV Channel 4 here in Pittsburgh. Now, an engineer at a TV station is a pretty important person because Murphy's Law always exists. You know, something is breaking, something is going wrong, and you need the engineer. So everybody is always really nice to the engineer, and he was on a first-name basis with everybody in the TV station, including the on-air talent. So as Jim is telling the story, he said one day the weatherman on Channel 4 came to see him. And you longtime Pittsburghers remember the weatherman, Joe DiNardo. Yeah, I mean, it used to be on billboards and on the side of buses. Joe said it would, extolling the virtues of the accuracy of his forecast. Well, Joe came because he had seen in a journal, and he was lusting after, the latest and greatest technology in weather forecasting. And he said to Jim, "Jim, can you put a spec sheet together for me on what this thing could do? And give me something that I can take to the general manager to show him how this will improve our weather forecasting." Jim did the research. Now, as I recall, Jim said this was a fairly expensive piece of equipment, somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000. So he prepared the sheet for Joe DiNardo. Joe went in to the general manager, gave it to him. As the general manager is reading it, he is extolling the virtues of how this will put us head and shoulders above the competition. You know that weather on the local TV station is a real ratings driver. He was coaxing, he was cajoling, and the general manager was listening to him. And when he was done, the general manager looked at Joe DiNardo and said, "Joe, I am not buying a piece of equipment that costs $75,000 so that you can improve the accuracy of your forecast from 57 to 61%. And just like that, the dreams of this new grand piece of weather equipment went down the drain like a bunch of rainwater. And even when I tell you that story, I'm remembering something what Bill Murray said years ago. He said, "Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 350,000 times, you must be a weatherman." And I'm not hitting on weathermen. I don't think we have any meteorologists here. In fact, I want to say that when you look at the studies and the statistics, the local TV forecast is relatively accurate well over 80% of the time. But the problem is, you and I remember the 20% or so, and especially when they're spectacularly wrong. It's tough to get the weather forecast right and to please everybody. But what if you knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what if you absolutely knew what the weather was going to be like the rest of this day, Monday, Tuesday, it would change your life. Literally. You'd go home today and get out the lawnmower and mow the lawn at 3 o'clock because you know there's a summer thunderstorm rolling in at 4 o'clock. Your neighbors, how did he know that? You'd plan that picnic or that family reunion for August on a day you knew it was going to be 75 degrees sunny with a few cotton candy clouds in the sky. You'd look at the calendar in December when the family's going to make a trip back to hometown for Christmas, and you'd schedule your flight on the day before that unexpected blizzard's coming by, snarling air traffic for 3 days. You'd be in control of your life. It would radically change if you knew the weather. This is what's fascinating about the passage that Damon read here just a minute ago. Jesus gets into the boat with his 12 faithful followers, and he says to them, let's go over across to the other side. And he does that fully aware that though the skies are beautiful and there's no hint of rain, there's a storm a-coming. And he knows this. And still he says to the disciples, get in the boat, we're going across to the other side. And I hope you noticed, it's in verse 36 when Damon read this, that it's not just Jesus and the 12 disciples. The Bible says other boats were with them also. If you go back to the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus is teaching on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, and there are great crowds there. Mark says so many that they're pressing in on Jesus. So he has to get up in the boat actually to be heard and to teach and to preach. And so after that, they decide they're going over to the other side. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of people there. Many of them must have gotten into their boats and said, I'd like an encore presentation. Let's follow him over to the other side. So here's Jesus, his 12 disciples, in a full flotilla of boats on the Sea of Galilee. Boy, it's nice. Couldn't be a nicer day for a boat ride. And yet Jesus knows the storm that is coming is fierce. In one Bible translation, it says the storm was of hurricane proportions. Hurricane proportions. You ever been in a boat in the middle of a storm? Anybody? Did anybody feel the fear of God? Was it a little scary? Some prayers for terra firma? I have never been in a boat in the middle of a storm, but last August, I was coming back to Pittsburgh on an airplane flight. It was a Sunday night about 10 o'clock. And you know how, if you've ever been on a plane in the summer after dark, you can look out your window sometimes and you can literally see, I don't know how far, it seems like to the edge of the earth. Every once in a while you'll see a thunderstorm out in the distance, and it's beautiful because you can see the cloud-to-cloud lightning. You can see the whole explosions going on and just say, wow, it's God's light show. It's beautiful. And this storm that I was looking at was beautiful. But it got less beautiful the closer we got to it. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in the middle of this thunderstorm. It started slow, you know. We were swaying a little bit, and after a while, these dips, and another dip, and sometimes it felt like we were actually moving side to side. And I was getting a little concerned. I looked over to my left, and the lady across the aisle had her fists like this, and her eyes were closed. And I looked. Her lips weren't moving, but I'm pretty sure she was praying. And then I looked at the guy in the row ahead of her, and he had his hand on the armrest like this in a death grip. And I thought, if we hit another one of those bumps, that armrest is coming right off. And in the midst of this, among other thoughts, one of my thoughts was about what Samuel Johnson, the great British writer, said over 200 years ago. He said, when a man is going to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. And I thought, yeah, we're all here. We're awake. We're right here. And maybe you've never had an experience like that, but you ought to. You ought to, so when you come to a passage like this, you feel what the Bible is saying. So for those of you who've never seen it, I have a clip here from Forrest Gump. Now, some of you have seen Forrest Gump. I bet the majority of you have. But if you haven't, in this clip, Tom Hanks, who's playing Forrest Gump, is in his shrimping boat with Lieutenant Dan, a friend and an army comrade, and they're in the Gulf of Mexico. Unbeknownst to them, they're getting into the middle of a hurricane. And let's see what it looks like.
It's funny Lieutenant Dan said that, because right then, God showed up. I was scared, but Lieutenant Dan, he was mad.
You call this a storm? Oh! It's time for a showdown! You and me! I'm right here! Come and get me! You'll never sink this boat!
I guarantee most of us would not be Lieutenant Dan. We would be imploring God the other way. And I suggest to you this morning, the disciples never would have gotten into that boat, even with Jesus in the boat. They never would have gotten into that boat if they had known the ferocity of the storm that they were sailing into. But that's the problem. You never know. You never know when the storm is coming, weather forecast or not. Most of us get up every morning and we get into our boats with absolutely no idea what the weather's going to be like for the next 18 to 24 hours. Now, we hope and we pray that the skies will be sunny with maybe a few clouds, but we don't know. Is there going to be an afternoon shower, a deluge, a thunderstorm? Will there be a tornado warning? You don't know. And if you don't know, it's hard to prepare for it. They always come unexpected and unscheduled, the storms of life. In 2001, we had our denominational convention in Providence, Rhode Island. And I went to a workshop there that was led by one of our denominational executives, Reverend Jeff Woods. And it was almost all pastors, not surprisingly, because the title of the workshop was How to Be an Effective Pastor. But anyway, Jeff Woods was sharing thoughts and wisdom that might be helpful to other pastors. And I remember in the middle of that presentation, he said that every morning when he drives to work, he's praying with his eyes open. He's praying to God. And every morning out loud, he says to himself, there are going to be three crises that happen today. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they'll be. But I know there will be three crises, unexpected things that are going to happen today. And he said, the reason I do that is because I'm preparing myself mentally and spiritually for when that happens. I've got the resources. I'm prepared. I'm writing all this down. At the end, he says, are there any questions? And I put my hand up. He said, yes, you back there. I said, yeah, what do you do on a day when you have four crises? He says, I think you missed the point. You're just preparing yourself mentally and spiritually. But listen, I know storms. I'd be happy to walk in the morning and go, there are going to be three things that happen today. But for me, I'll need to say, there's going to be 10 things that happen today. I hate those storms. And I wonder if when Jesus said to the disciples, let us get into the boat and go across to the other side, I wonder if he might not have been teaching the disciples a lesson. You know, there's more ways of teaching than standing up and talking to somebody. Maybe this was an advanced children's story. Maybe this was one of Jesus' parables. He says, get into the boat. There are going to be storms in life. And it may be sunny when you start out, but that's no guarantee as you go forward. Everybody has to deal with the storms. I still have that little paperback book I bought 34 years ago, written by Rabbi Harold Kushner. I mentioned it before because I asked some of you if you've read it and you had. The book is called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? My binding is falling apart. I've been through it a few times. But you know, the last decade, whenever I come across that book on my library shelf, I think to myself about the presumption behind that title. And the presumption, why do bad things happen to good people? It would be one thing to title a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen? But then to add that last part, to good people. Because you see what the presumption is there. Once you become good, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, He's in the process of sanctifying me, then you get in line and you get a vaccination. No more storms, no more bad things. And then when you come to a storm, you say to yourself, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm a good guy. I'm trying my best. Where do we get this presumption? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, we went to the baseball game on Monday down at PNC Park, and it was a great game. We got a hit. We got lots of hits on Monday. In fact, it was 11-0. We won the game. And we could have left earlier, we should have left earlier, but we were enjoying the blowout and, you know, oh, there's another run. And we left 2 minutes too late. We got out of PNC Park and we're walking to the parking garage and the skies just opened and the deluge came. And we're dried out now. But I looked around and everybody who didn't have an umbrella or wasn't wearing a poncho was getting soaked. Now, remember, this is Monday night, so I'm starting to think about Sunday's sermon already. And it occurred to me as I looked around, I thought, wouldn't it be great if the storms only happened to the bad people? No, I mean, think about this. You're walking and running through that thunderstorm and the clouds, and then you look around and you see all these dry people. It's raining, but it's not raining on them. And you say to yourself, those are the good people. There's a lot of advantages to that. You know who to trust if you need a house sitter or somebody to babysit your kids, or here's the keys to my car, just bring it back when you're done. Those are the good people. And then think about it from the other side. If you're running through the storm and you're getting soaked, you say to yourself, I better shape up. I'm not one of the good people. There's advantages. Why do bad things happen to good people? The other advantage is, if we knew for certain that bad things would not happen to good people, you'd never get a seat in here on a Sunday morning. We never worry about the budget again. Not the way it works. Jesus, I think, taking the disciples out into the sea and saying, there will be storms. Are you breathing? Check your pulse. There'll be storms. But if that's the lesson he was teaching them, then the ultimate lesson he wants to teach them is, every storm you encounter, you will have me in the boat with you. I am in the boat with you. And if that's the lesson Jesus is trying to teach, I say, Lord, teach me again. Teach me again. There's never been a period in my life when I didn't need to be taught that lesson. And it started out young. There was a period when I was 4 or 5 years old when I had night terrors, terrible nightmares. I'd go to bed. I thought it was terrible, but I'm sure my parents thought it was even worse. You know, a lot of sleep was lost during those times, and I'd sometimes wake up drenched in sweat. And I remember still to this day so clearly the one nightmare I had. My bed, the wall was here, and there's a window right here, and I wanted my bed right up next to the window so I could look out at night. And there's a tree fairly close to the house, close enough so that if the wind was blowing really hard, the branches would scrape against the side of the house. Now, there's something for a 4-year-old to, what is that? But on this night, with my bed next to there, I had fallen asleep, and I was dreaming that there was a larger-than-life, a huge gorilla in that tree. You think it's funny. I'm 4 years old. Believe me, I'm telling you this, and my blood pressure is going up. And this gorilla was not only in the tree, but he was looking in my window. And at a certain point in the nightmare, he moved closer to the window, and his face was plastered right up against the window, and his big eyes were looking right out at me. And in my sleep, I was so afraid that I moved to the other side of the bed, and I fell off the bed. And thank God I grabbed some covers when I was falling, because when I woke up, I was scared to death. Everybody knows if you stay on top of the bed, you're safe. Nothing can get you. But once you're out of that bed, you're fair game. So there I am. I am on the floor. I was so scared, I could not speak. The only time in my life I remember not being able to speak, being so scared. And I literally, it seemed like forever, I don't know how long it was, but I was squeaking, trying to get, help me, help me. And finally, miraculously, my mom appeared. Their bedroom was down the hall. She appeared next to me and grabbed me up, and she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, "It's okay, I'm here. I'm here." And I want to ask you this morning, would it have been okay if my mother had yelled from down the hall in her bed, "You have another one of those nightmares? It's just a dream. It's okay. Nothing to worry about. Get back in your bed. Go to sleep." Would that have been okay? Would have been okay for my mom. And maybe it would have been okay for you, but it would not have been okay for me. I needed that. It's okay. And in closing, I just want you to notice, and you may want to go back and read this scripture again, because it's a small point, but I think it's a critical point in this story. Jesus never says to his disciples, "There's nothing to be afraid of." He never says that. You look. And he doesn't say that because it's not true. That storm was real. And there are an awful lot of things to be afraid of in this world. I've matured to the point where I know what a nightmare is, and I'm not afraid of that. But in the meantime, I've learned about the things that I should be afraid of. I learned that marriages can dissolve in a moment and divorce happens. I've learned that children get sick and sometimes die. I learned that people who are depending on their jobs for their livelihood and their family's livelihood can lose those jobs in a moment. I've learned that you can go to a Bible study on a Wednesday night, and you don't come out alive. I've learned that there are wars in every area of this world. I've learned that there are people who are desperately poor, that there are immigrants who are afraid every day, that there is injustice, that there is unrighteousness, that there is what Paul calls principalities and powers, and they rule this world. So Jesus never said, "There's nothing to be afraid of." What he said was, "Don't be afraid. I'm here." Again, I say, if that's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach, I say to Jesus, "Lord, keep teaching me. I'm a good forgetter." As soon as that last storm recedes into the background, I'm praying, "Lord, no more storms, please." And the Lord is saying, "Oh, there'll be storms. There'll be storms. But it's okay. I'm here." Let's pray together. Lord God, the British fisherman one time prayed, "Oh God, the sea is so great and my boat is so small." And you know, we all feel that way. But like those original disciples, your present-day disciples ask you to remind us daily that the storms have no final say as long as you're in the boat with us. And for that, we give you eternal thanks. In Christ's name, amen.